Welcome to Sexual Frequency, a non-judgmental place where we can play, explore, and vibe into the new paradigm of intimacy and sexuality together. I'm your host, Goddess Lore, and we are back in the studio, baby, for season two. We're in our new home, Infinity Studios. Shout out to you in Monterey Park. Yes. Tonight, we are inviting you on a journey to go back and think about your pleasure lineage. We're inviting our ancestors into the space and remembering those who first awakened our senses to pleasure. Can you recall the times when you first felt butterflies, the events and people who made you question, wonder, and explore yourself and your world? Maybe it was the aromas from your grandparents' home, or the way a certain texture made you feel, a song, or the mere presence of an individual. Let's explore tonight and show some gratitude for those that came before us. Yes. And sitting right next to me is the one, the only, Rick Rock with the hard cock. How you doing, boo?
Hey, what's up, everybody? I'm doing good, mama. Glad to be back. Season two in the studio.
Season two. Are you feeling more at home? You're back on the board.
Yeah, kind of. Still getting a little used to it. It's a lot to do here. So, you know, we're going to keep it professional and keep it going.
It is. It's a little bit getting used to, right? It's just like, you know, when you get like a new car or like a new like tech toy, you know, you need some time to kind of adjust and get into it, right?
Right.
So we're coming off of our first live show, guys, on 420. That was pretty dope. But before we get into it, Rick, tell the people what time it is.
It's time for that pre-roll.
Yes, pre-roll, baby. Rick's going to let you know our newest and hottest sponsor. Let's go.
All right, one second here. So we got our new sponsor. Let me get this on here. Let me remove us real quick.
Yo, if you were not at the live show, you guys truly missed out because 360 Photo Booth Expert was there and they provided such an amazing experience for us. It was like the first time I had ever done one of the 360 photo booths. Have you guys ever done any of that?
I haven't. I have never done it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was the first time and it was like really great. It was so much fun. And listen, Agatha and Gabby, always going above and beyond. Hey. I appreciate them so much. So shout out to you. Make sure you go and follow their page. All the information is on the ticker. And you can always go to the website. What was that website again, Rick?
That's 360photobooth.com.
Yes. Before we get into like the full debrief of our live show, I want to introduce our in-studio guests that are joining us tonight. Hey. So tonight is a special night because not only is it like the first night in the studio, but the High Priestess is here. Hey. And she is debuting her segment on Sexual Frequency. I'm so excited. Horny Astrology. Y'all going to have to wait for that because you got to wait till the end, baby. You're going to want to know what you're going to need to prep for this month because, listen, The skies be talking. We want to know what they have to say. And also joining us tonight, you already know her. She is a personal friend of mine and Rick. She is a friend of the show, Eileen Calderon.
Hey.
Welcome back, girl.
Thank you. I'm so happy to be here. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Being in the studio again and the live back last week. And happy belated birthday.
Thank you. That's right. It was my birthday on 420. What? How are you ladies feeling tonight?
Excited. Great. I'm excited for the priestess here. I'm excited for you guys. So yeah,
I'm so excited. Ball rolling. Like y'all do not even know.
I don't know if I'm scared to hear my astrology.
I'm excited, and it's like extra honoring to be on the first episode of being in the new studio.
Right.
You know, during Taurus season, like, you know, one of the most sensual seasons of all, because, you know, us Taurus babies, we're all about the sensuality. We're ruled by Venus. Thank you very much. If you are joining us on YouTube, we love and appreciate you. You're getting up close and personal with us. Sit on our lap, baby girl, baby boy, baby they, them. We have room for all of you. If you're joining us, go ahead and, you know, let us know who's here. Throw a little comment in the chat. If you have any questions, shoot them our way, baby. So let's get into it a little bit. Live show. What did you guys think of the live show? So for those of you who missed it, it was on 420 Wednesday. It was live at Ixtapa Bar and Cantina in Pasadena. Shout out to them. Shout out to Infinity Studios, who came out and did all the tech, got us ready and prepped for the event. But, you know, y'all were there. Rick, Priestess, what'd y'all think?
It was great. I mean, for our first live show, we had a good audience. We had a good, you know, little rhythm going. You know, we had some games. We did a raffle. So it was a great, I mean, for our first live show, for me being involved, like, yeah, I mean, it was great. It was awesome. I mean, we had a good turnout and so forth, you know. So what about you girls?
It was definitely dope just seeing the interaction with the audience and getting people to come up and, like me, come up and say crazy shit. But yeah, it was awesome. It was a good vibe. 420, your birthday, and lots of friends and family there to support. So
it was fun. Yeah, it was great to have people come out and support, just looking out and, you know, seeing people's expressions. And I did not realize how, like, nerve-wracking it was going to be. I've done one live show before, but as a co-host. So the vibe was very, very different, like, as a co-host. Pressure. Like, we had so many things, like, planned that, you know, at the last minute, like, you have to, you know, kind of just accommodate to whatever the situation is. For example, we were supposed to walk in and, like, get people hyped up to area codes. But the situation was the bar stools that we were sitting on were so slippery that I told Rick, there is no way that I'm going to walk up here and then my happy ass is going to slide right the fuck off of this fucking bar stool. So I made myself comfortable. I adjusted the camera and I said, I'm not fucking going anywhere. We are staying right here. And that was tough because when we first started, it kind of felt like I wasn't expecting for the crowd to be so, like, quiet initially. So it felt like crickets. Like, that was, like, the first, like, a visual. You know how you always just hear a cricket? Like, now whenever I hear a cricket, I know the visual is going to be, like, the live audience, like, the first couple minutes of the show. It was a little bit rough, but, you know, everybody, like, you know, got a little warmed up and we did good. I kind of felt like Oprah. You know, I was like, you get a whole bag, you get a whole bag, you get a whole bag.
I mean, it was a room full of whole bags, so I think we deserved them.
It was definitely a room full of whole bags. I love it. Bags.
And you got a random, like, super fan.
Oh my God. Yes. Random super fan. Is that you? Are you watching us right now? That was so great because I thought that he came with like a friend and it was this one guy and he was playing the games and he was like super juiced and really like just into it. Like we finished the live show and he came up to me and he hugged me and he was like, oh man, like keep doing what you're doing. I love your voice. And he's like hugging me. And I was like looking for the person I thought he was with. But then it was like, nah, girl, he's not with me. He was just sitting at the bar. So listen, that's what it was all about, right? Like, yeah. You know, exposing other people to like the show and what we do. So we appreciate all of you who came out, those who saw the show on YouTube. We felt so much love, so much support. We still have some extra t-shirts if y'all want to, you know, cop a shirt. We got Priestess and Rick are rocking the t-shirts, yeah, rocking like a frequency today, t-shirt. So,
what's your frequency?
Hey. We're always improving, baby. Always
hit us up for the merch info, you know, DM us or whatever.
Yeah, absolutely.
We got you.
Hit the DM, baby. Rick, I see somebody who's in our chat.
Yeah, we got Monica on saying the live show was great.
Hey, shout out to Monica. Monica coming through. Monica and Lucy, it was great. We had so many like lifelong friends, like friends from high school, so that we've been knowing like 20 plus fucking years. It was like good. And we had season hoes. And we had younger hoes because my friend brought all of her hoe friends. It was great. It was a good time. We look forward to having another live show. I don't know, maybe in the summer. What do you think, Rick?
I think we can do that. I think it'll be awesome. I think we were talking about like a little mixer or something like that.
Maybe. Yeah. We want to help
get all these. Get all my freaks together.
Get the freaks together. Maybe it's like a pool party vibe. How dope would that be?
Look. Carol Mommy wants some merch.
Carol Mommy wants the merch.
Carol Mommy, she's a real one. I love you, boo. You got to come to the next live show.
Yeah, definitely.
Yes, it was a good time, you know. Although I do have to say, because we didn't mention it that night, that we did have Figgy Baby. He was going to do a live performance. He was going to do a freestyle set.
Yeah,
he was so juiced, like him and his DJ, and then at the last minute had to pull out because somebody who he spent a lot of time with ended up getting COVID. So we were like, oh yeah, no boo, as much as I want to sit on your lap, like you need to stay home.
that's the bad last minute pull out.
Yeah,
right. Good one. Is there? I feel like those are scary.
Dangerous is fun sometimes.
I feel like last minute pull out. This is my son.
Thank you. I have a 21-year-old and a 14-year-old pull out.
Speak on it, Eileen.
Get it.
Oh, damn. Anyway, it was a good ass time, and we hope that you can join us next time. We will definitely keep y'all posted. It was a, you know, memorable birthday for me.
Yeah, it was a great thing.
It was nice.
420, your birthday, you know, yeah, live show.
It was
fun.
Oh my God. And then we went to King Taco, and it was like the best King Taco I've had in like forever.
Okay. Can we talk about that? Okay, let's talk behind the scenes.
Talk dirty to me.
Let's talk behind the scenes because your girl had not had dinner. Rick, did you have dinner that night?
No.
We did not have dinner. So, man, my mouth watered. So I even said during the live show, yo, someone order me some tacos when I'm done. But that didn't. I was manifesting a lot that night. If y'all remember, I said, can we get some cock up here? And then Mr. BB came up and he was like, I'm right here. I manifested a shot. I manifested a birthday flan. It was great. I just did not manifest the tacos when I wanted them, but I got them till later and they were so fucking great. But let me tell you, nobody wanted to let me smoke with them because I had a cold sore on my lip. And I was like, please, I'll hold the pen like this. Like, I promise I won't put my lips on it. And everybody was like, fuck no, bitch. I was like, but it's my birthday. I want to smoke, please. So a friend of mine had rolled a J. Are you fine if I tell the story, right?
Yeah.
A friend of mine rolled me a J, like, just for me. So during the, like, raffles, I was like, look, my friend rolled me a J. Like, he's the fucking best. Shout out to you, Jaws. Blah, blah, blah. in my birthday drunkenness, I put the J on the table. And then when we were walking to the car, I wanted to smoke. And I was like, where's my joint? And everybody was like, I don't know. Where did you leave it? We're scouring the whole place. We end up going to King Taco. I'm sure all the 30 people in the line knew that I was like wanting my joint because I was like pretty loud. If y'all haven't seen the footage, I had my hair like up like a fucking genie in a bottle. It was great. I was whipping my hair back and forth like in the King Taco line. And then I remember talking to this group of like young kids. They were like in their early 20s.
Yeah.
Everyone and their mom was at King Taco because it was 420. Everybody's fucking stoned, right? I'm whipping my hair back and forth and I look up and people are laughing. I'm like, it's all good. It's my birthday. Had a live show. Nothing to see here. So I start talking to these kids and I'm like, can you believe like these jerks won't let me smoke? And they're just looking at me like crickets. I was like, fuck. Okay, I scared the fuck out of these kids. Whatever. Have the best King Taco of our lives. Go home. Priestess goes to the back to start rolling a joint for me because I had wanted to smoke. As we continue talking about the joint, Ricky's friend that I had just met that night fucking pulls it out of her purse. And she was like, oh, like, is this what you're looking for? And I was all, what? Like, you had it this whole time? But listen, at that point, I was so tired. I had eaten. My face looked like a raccoon. Because there was no escaping the makeup that I was wearing. Yeah. It was just all over the place. And I didn't even smoke. Liz came and brought me the J. And she's like, you're not going to fucking smoke, Amma. No, because I ate. I'm full. I'm tired. I just want to go to sleep. I happily smoked it the next day.
In but, retrospect, I think it was good that you didn't smoke that night because you were lit.
Yeah.
Oh, like I was. You could have gotten yeah. I was fucking. Yeah. I was
been,
lit lit.
Yeah, you'd have been crossfaded. You'd have been sick the next day.
Can I say, knock on wood, I have never been crossfaded.
Okay, well, that's good.
Wait,
but we ain't getting any younger, so recovery is a little longer.
You mean crossfaded in a bad way or just in general?
Crossfaded in a bad way. Okay. Like, I've never been crossfaded, like, fuck, negative. I'm never doing that shit again. No, I'm always like, fuck it up, let's smoke, who got the drink, like, let's go.
No, I've been bad, and I still do it sometimes. You just get the spins, you lay down, you might throw up, and then it passes.
Carol, what's Carol got going on in the chat?
Carol mommy saying, no dinner and the waiter taking your birthday dessert, or was it the tacos?
No, girl. So the waiter comes, somebody orders me like a birthday flan, and then he comes and he was like, oh, is it your birthday? And I was like, yeah. So he's going to light it. And I was like, no, maybe don't light it. And then people start singing. So I was like, no, okay, light it. But then he was like, oh, but is it yours? And I was like, yeah, it's mine. I go, but who bought it for me? And he was like, I don't know. So I asked the crowd. And then my friend Carla was like, oh, me. So he goes to take the cake to Carla. And I was like, no, but it's me. Yo soy mine. La cumpleañera. Yo soy la cumpleañera.
And anyway, then he proceeded to sing
He proceeded to sing happy birthday to me and call me Panchita. And I was like, wow, Panchita, you couldn't have gone with something else? I don't know. I don't know what else would have been offensive. But anyway, it was fun. It was a good ass time.
She's also saying, referencing you crying or not the new mascara from Sephora that was waterproof.
Bitch, no, it's because I did a wingtip. I've never done that before. I got my makeup done. Nice. Shout out to Areli. Nice. If y'all want her contact, let me know. She's not willing to put herself out there yet, but she's fucking good. This bitch is good. Areli is the bomb.
She did all our makeup for our dad's wedding.
She did. She did. And that's Momo's BFF. So that's a good time. We're going to transition to our next segment.
Which segment? Which
one? Our next segment called Cochina Chronicles.
Oh. I like it already.
Let me set you up here.
Listen. I need to take a sip of water before I share this story.
The C squared Cochina Chronicles.
Listen, this segment was birthed today. Actually, it happened today. True real life story. Your girl, I don't know what the mindset was this morning after I showered. I think, you know, I was not thinking about what I had planned to do in the day. And I was thinking about like my cochinadas and like what are Kinky Boo and I, our next plans, right? I was all like, all up in it. So I had to go pick up an order from Torrid. Shout out to you, Torrid. And I get there and they're having like these like big sales. So I was like, ooh, let me try on some clothes right now. Not your girl feeling like it was my birthday. I'm going to go try on everything, whatever. You know, even if I can't afford it right now, it's all good. Your girl gets to the dressing room, stacks on stacks of fucking clothes. And guys, it wasn't long before I realized that I was going commando. So I was going commando. I went to grab my pants to lower them. And then I was like, bitch, you have no calzones on right now. So I was like, fuck, what am I going to do? But I'm not going to try on jeans. I'm not going to try on anything without underwear. Like, because we're ethical sluts and ethical hoes. Like, we're not going to.
It's not like at the shoe store. Can I borrow a sock? They wouldn't let you borrow a pair of chonies. They didn't have. That should be a thing.
Right? A plastic sticky on the crotch. Yes.
Listen, my ass got out of the dressing room and went and picked up a pair of thong or a thong underwear. That's not plural. But I picked out a thong and got back to the dressing room and I put it on. And like before I could stop my big fat ass from swallowing up the thong, I realized that I got the wrong size. So it was like one size too small, but it was too fucking late. Like, I'm not going to be that hoe who's going to say, excuse me, like this thong that I just tried on as I've been juicy all day planning my next cochinadas that I'm going to do. I need to return it. Like, I cannot fucking believe that shit was happening to me. So. Anyway, whatever. I sucked it up literally. Oh, well, I didn't even mean to say that. But I sucked it up literally and I tried my shit on. Like I just tried my stuff on. I felt like I took forever in the dressing room because your girl was in a weird headspace at that point, right? Like at that point I even texted Kinky Boo, "You're not going to believe what's happening to me right now." You fucking speak.
Leaving a snail trail in the store.
No, we're ethical hoes. You know, we didn't leave a snail trail. We kept it all in those little tight ass calzones that we fucking had to pay for. Yes. So, you know, I took long. I did take a couple pictures. Then I was scared that the studio might see because they popped up still on my phone. And I was like, Jeff, where are the cameras in here? Did anybody see those photos? But that was my Cochina Chronicles of the day. It happened. It was a real life story. I don't like wearing underwear and it's okay. But, you know, you have to kind of think about what you're doing in your day because you don't want to end up, you know, having to buy a thong that is like too small, too small for you. You know, while you're trying to, you know, fucking put jeans on. I see you laughing, Carol Mommy.
Plan
I see
accordingly.
You fucking laughing. Yeah. Plan accordingly. Like, again, no shame in not wearing underwear. As soon as I got home, I took them off, and I'm back to not wearing any in my little, what are these, like, pedal pushers? I don't know what the fuck you would call these. They're like little yoga pedal pants. Pushers.
I think those were like when we were in high school. Pedal
pushers. What? The Daisy Fuentes ones?
Daisy Fuentes. What?
Or, Costco. Is it both Costco and Daisy Fuentes? The ones Momo got us all.
No, those were Jessica Simpson.
Oh, Jessica Simpson. Yeah.
I was like, Daisy Fuentes, I think that was Kmart. Like, no shade to Daisy Fuentes. Maybe, maybe Kohl's. Yeah. Little upgrade. We see it. Yeah, but all my cochinas out there, listen, just plan accordingly. Or be a good hoe and carry a pair of underwear in your purse. I should have done that. That was like a rookie mistake.
Yeah.
I should have that. Anyway, that concludes Cochina Chronicles. And we appreciate you, Carol, who says she loves the new studio. Hey, shout out
to Tim Pines Studios. It is nice, I must say. It's beautiful.
Thank you.
I love that segment. And I can't wait for the next one.
Yes, I'm like dying for the new stories.
Because there's going to be like really good ones. I can feel it.
You know, it's funny because I think like last season I thought of doing like a Kinky Boo Chronicles. And then I'm like, nah, that's like too specific. And then today it just hit me. I'm like, oh my, this only these cochinadas happened to me. And then I was like, it's perfect. Cochina Chronicles. Yes, there definitely will be more to come. I don't know if every week. We just got to see what happens.
We'll see what happens, yeah.
We'll see
how cochina you get in the week, during the week.
We'll see how much shit you get yourself into there in the next
week. Ay, bae. Yeah, there's definitely stories. Speaking of stories, I want us to transition into the topic of the night, which you all know, look, here on Sexual Frequency, you know that we are compassionate sluts and we want everyone to experience sexual liberation and a connection to their erotic energy. You know, I also consider myself a pleasure activist. And this conversation was really inspired by Adrienne Marie Brown, who wrote an amazing book on the topic called Pleasure Activist, The Politics of Feeling Good. And she begins her book by asking the question, who taught you how to feel good? She proceeds to go through her pleasure. She calls it her pleasure activism lineage. She begins with a beautiful story about her grandmother and then just continues to add the many writers and people in her life who have inspired her journey to really kind of live a life that is pleasure focused or seeing through the lens of pleasure. And, you know, seeing it as a not just a human need, but like a right, like, you know, like we got to fight for our rights, baby, to pleasure. We really do. And so this was really inspired by her because I started doing the activity. So she gives you homework and she's like, get juicy with it. Like do your pleasure lineage. And at first the task was like a little bit daunting because it's like when you think of lineage, I feel like for me, I started thinking about like, okay, like a family tree, like right. This is this and that is that. Oh my God, did I just do the scuttle? Or what is it? Not scuttle, but the fish.
Flounder.
Flounder.
This and that.
I just did the flounder. Wow. Listen, this is what you get on Sexual Frequency. We're a mixed bag here. And hello, Little Mermaid, huge person in pleasure activism, right? Like this bitch was like, nobody is gonna stop me from experiencing the human world, okay? Not even my dad, who's a fucking god. Like, no, I'm gonna sell my soul to the fucking sea witch because I need to get that human dick.
And she was 16.
Girl, 16.
Little baby horn dog.
Listen, my grandma probably had two kids by that point. Yeah. So that's probably the people who wrote it in like a later age range, I'm just saying. Wow, I am totally digressing, but here we go. Let's get back into it. So when I started doing this like pleasure lineage for me, like I started really wanting to connect with, you know, the people that came before me and who ignited maybe curiosity in me and like, what were my memories more like even as a child, like who taught me how to feel good or what were things that really stood out to me? So I want to get started this journey, start talking about this journey with my two grandmothers, two distinctly different women. They could not be any more different. My paternal grandmother is the most religious woman that I have ever met. And mind you, back in the day when I went to Sacred Heart, I was part of the Lifers. I used to do retreats. We used to go up to the Mother House in San Francisco, which is where all the nuns were, right? They tried to indoctrinate you to like, you don't want sex. You want to serve the Lord. And I'm like, I want to do both. They were like, no, you can't. I was like, then this life is not for me. Sorry. And I remember, it's so funny this is coming up because I remember asking the question. Because they talked a lot about, like, when you get the call, you can't deny the call. So I raised my hand and I was like, what if you get the call, but you don't want to? And they were like, no, that doesn't happen, blah, blah, blah. But listen, I knew my spidey senses. There was one woman up there. I was like, she don't want this life. I know it. And I'm not going to out her. But she left the sister so and so decided the calling was not for her after all. Maybe like a year after that. So I'm just saying.
Should I know who you're talking about?
I don't think you met her. Okay. I think this was more like my time at Sacred Heart. Yeah.
Got it.
Shout out to you, Sister D.
who wanted the D?
I mean, she might have wanted the P. I'm not sure.
Okay.
Maybe so, she wanted both.
Maybe. Yeah. We can only hope. Okay, so let's go back to my grandmother.
We'll pray for you, former sister.
Yes, former Sister D. We know she's got a good heart. And now hopefully she's getting good head too.
Heck
yeah. So my paternal grandmother, super religious. Like, this woman never wore a pair of pants in her life.
Oh.
Went to church every single day. I know that she is resting in power. She's probably the closest to the saint, to a saint that I would have ever met, like, in like the flesh, right? And then we have our maternal grandmother, who is like the Suge Knight of the family. Like, you know, she has a very strong personality. You know, she loves hard, but, you know, she thugs harder.
And she loves the red.
She loves red. So she has this like red pantsuit that she wore. And that's when I was like, bruh, Suge is showing out tonight. But she also has a white one. So she could be Tupac too. Like, but that's my grandma. She is still with us. But, you know, she was more about the finer things in life. She really loved opulence in her life. Like, I remember going with her to Macy's. And just looking at, like, the fine jewelry. And she'd be like, bitch, pull that out. We're going to put it on. Having, like, rings on her finger. Just, like, window shopping and, you know, doing the things. So, two distinct women. But the one thing that they really had, that they had in common was they both wore red lipstick. They both wore red lipstick, and I remember kind of as a child always being intrigued because my grandma from my dad's side, I feel like she always had lipstick on. She always had her hair combed, very manicured, always in a dress, always in red lipstick. And what society tells us of women in red lips, at least back in the day, right? This is like what, you know, 30 years ago, mm-hmm. Was, you know, you're a woman of the night. You're a hoe, basically. To me, it says you're a good time. But it was a different time back then. And she really taught me to see, like, no, society's not right. Because they say these things, but here you are in front of me, this, like, righteous woman, always wearing her red lipstick. Always praying, always doing the thing. And then Suge Knight with the pantsuit, with the red lipstick and her hair done and the jewels blinging. But she also had a soft side, you know, to her. And so that was one of the first things, like, being really young that just didn't, like, intrigue me. Like, the red lips, like, I loved it. Like, just being a child and just kind of wanting to, like, you know, like, touch her lips and So that is one really big, like, memory for me as a child. Also, like, my paternal grandmother had this. I don't know if you're too young to remember, Liz, but she had this little coin purse. And it was brown. And it was like, what is it? The metal?
Yeah.
Like, you would just open it and it was like it would squeeze open. And it was like a staple every time you went. Mm-hmm. You always asked your grandma for a penny because my aunt had a gumball machine there.
Yep.
So, like, when you were lucky if she asked you to go fetch her little bag and you got to hold it and, like, squeeze it. And it was just like this, like, beautiful thing, right? Like, I could feel it right now, you know, was like just so tangible and, like, so like, so great. Oh, I love my grandmas. I love both of them.
I do too.
And then moving on to, like, my mom. My mom was somebody who, if y'all saw, like, the season finale, season one finale of Sexual Frequency was all about my mom. And she just had this, like, joy of, you know, just life, this, like, je ne sais quoi about her that her love and her heart just attracted everybody to her. But the biggest thing that she taught me was like empathy and compassion. She really taught me the importance of including everyone and making sure that people's voices were heard. And I feel like that is really what fuels my compassionate sluttiness is that my mom showed me, you know, just like one small thing, one kind gesture can change like people's perception, can change the energy in the room, can just be like very, very transformative. Do you guys have anything that you want to share? Because I still got like a list of some people. I'd be talking a lot. No? Okay. Ladies, I can keep talking.
Yeah, I'm really enjoying listening to your stories.
Okay, well, then I shall move on. This one's a tough one because we're not on good terms right now, but my dad. So my dad also has taught me a lot about pleasure in my life because I remember being really young. We used to host parties all the time. And like, don't get me wrong, parties that our parents used to throw put our fucking parties to shame. Like, yeah, fucking bangers. I don't know what kind of drugs they were doing behind our backs, but maybe we'd be doing like the lazy drugs or something. I don't know, but they used to throw bangers, like always up, always partying. And both of our parents were like very great, like hosts. My mom was all about being very catering. My dad was always like so funny. He always had a very kind of larger than life presence. And I remember being a kid and kind of wanting to be around because I knew my dad was going to be throwing the inappropriate jokes where it'd be like, vete para allá, like go over there. Like you can't listen to this. But every once in a while, like, you know, you'd be there and you would catch it. And I remember though being there and at the time being so upset, like, you're so wrong. How could you say that? Like, there's kids here. Do not see how inappropriate you are. This was me back in my prudish days. Yes. I have reformed and changed my ways.
A little embarrassing though, right? Like,
yes,
definitely there's that part of it.
For sure. However, now I find myself being that embarrassing person where I will say jokes now and I'll be like, oh, damn, I'm sorry. I didn't see that your kid was right there. And I just said pussy like nothing. You know, it's happened. Like,
I just called that woman a cunt, but, you know.
You know, that's a word that I don't use, like, too much. I have to really be in the mood to, like, use that word. It has to, like, evoke some very, like, deep feelings. Like, deep feelings for me, you know. that's a deep word. Much like hate for me.
I've been, honestly, I've mostly driving using that word. Followed by the word bucket. I don't know where that came from.
Cunt bucket.
I just throw it out there like nobody's business. I'll and it's it mostly when people cut me off and.
So know, what's like, know. So it's like a cunt bucket, like kind know. Of equivalent no to idea. Like a slutty cunt and she needs a bucket because she's full of cum.
It's just like, stupid. Yeah. To me, cunt has always been like the ultimate, like, wow, you really went there. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, just bucket, like,
come I bucket. Don't know.
Maybe it's the SpongeBob effect. The
I chum have bucket. No, I couldn't even begin to tell you where that came from, but
we're referencing, we are referencing all the cartoons all tonight. The cartoons. If y'all missed it, we were referencing Flounder.
And those cartoons from little referencing undertone things, too.
I mean, of course. Yeah. But he's a sponge under the sea. He's contraception.
Lives in a pineapple.
Like, that's what he is. He's contraception. Like, for real. Yeah, so shout out to my dad. He played a big part in my pleasure seeking and my journey and, like, even being, like, young. I think a lot of people, too, we hear pleasure and we think sex right away. Yeah. But it's, like, pleasure in all the ways of, you know, if you ever go to like a family's house who just had like impeccable taste in like their furniture or the way their house, the way the house smelled, feeling on their couches. Like, I mean, we grew up in the times where people kept fucking plastic on their tongue, yeah. right? Remember plastic that shit? On the, yeah. Like, damn.
If you were wearing shorts or a skirt, forget it. Your ass was sticking to it.
How fucking yes. I hated your that.
Thighs
shit.
Would be all red.
Yeah.
And like,
talk about a snail trail, man. I'm like, fuck. But yeah, like the things that ignited us, like we asked some friends of ours, you know, who were their pleasure, what was their pleasure lineage. And one of our friend of the show, Dr. Bracho, talked about how he was really into Greek mythology because Greek mythology, Greek mythology portrayed, you know, men's bodies, women's bodies, and it was very, you know, it was very open, it was very fluid. Mm-hmm. So it was like one of the few places that as like a gay individual, as a gay male, you can, you know, you can kind of explore and have your mind kind of go places, right? They also mentioned Antoine Moreno mentioned the JCPenney catalog.
Yeah.
I forget what else he said.
Muscle magazines.
Muscle magazines, yeah. Right? Because he said it wasn't so much about the muscle, but it was like the imagination like of it, right? So just a lot of, you know, a lot of different things and people having different perspectives. Just two more people that I really want to shout out because they were really important. My middle school teachers, Miss Kay, Miss Keseloff, who just had a birthday, I believe, 2 days ago, a heavenly birthday, and Miss Wolf. And it was Miss Kay and Miss Wolf, and they were always together. And if they were not the image of what a human witch looked like, I don't know what was. They were unapologetically themselves. They were like the first real like radical feminists in my life, aside from like my mom. They truly showed up as themselves every day, like zero fucks given. Their hair was long and just, it was salt and pepper and just so beautiful. Man, now that I'm touching my hair, I'm like, oh my God, did I have a crush on them? I think I had a crush on them.
No, I think it was just,
I was going to send this to
you.
Ms.
were
Wolf,
inspired
I'm
by
not
them.
Going to send it to them. I really was truly inspired by them. They were intelligent. They had a sense of humor. They were just confident. And when you radiate those things, you bring that out in other individuals. And they really did that for me. I remember, this is how old I am, and that's okay, 43. We had a debate about Clarence Thomas when he was going to be confirmed to the Senate. And it was a thing. It was a big thing. And I remember just feeling like I could say whatever the fuck I wanted to those jerk boys who were like, she's a liar. And I was like, let me put some pubes in your fucking soda, jerk. See how you like it. Although I don't think I had pubes back then. I was probably like 12. I don't think I had pubes yet. But they were just so fucking badass. And I remember I wrote in somebody's yearbook right before the summer, like, oh, I hope your boyfriend fucks your brains out. I was in like seventh grade. Who says that? I guess I was sort of like a wannabe slut back then, inside. Even though I was like judging. They read the yearbook. And I remember they called me over. I still like vividly, I could see it. I was scared as fuck walking over to them. And they were like, Miss Gonzalez, we saw what you wrote in the yearbook. And I was like, I was so embarrassed. I was like, yeah, I'm sorry. And she was like, oh, she didn't have to tell me anything else. She just said to me, can you bring me your yearbook? Because I want to sign it. And the only four-letter word that I'm going to write in your yearbook is love. And I was like, the worst punishment. I disappointed you. You don't even have to yell at me. I feel so ashamed. But they were just badass fucking women, and they really helped me get into that the energy of it doesn't matter what you look like, it doesn't matter like whatever your stature is, you just be confident in who you are, and that's all that matters. Mm-hmm. People will respect you, people will, you know, whoever is going to gravitate toward you will gravitate toward you. And they were just A1 top notch. Miss Wolf, I'm going to plan to have a lunch with you very soon. Bless you. Bless you. God bless you.
Sorry. Yeah, use your voice. Look, and look what's going on.
Girl. Yeah. Hey. Look at how they just helped like shape me and who I am. And now, you know, I'm here fucking giving, honoring them and giving them kudos. I know Miss K, you know, she's resting in power, but Miss Wolf just moved back. And so I am going to plan to see her because, you know, badass bitches, we should, you know, hang out together. Absolutely. Anybody have, did this jog any like lineage people and, you know, or situations for you guys that you'd like to share?
Yeah, I think, well, you mentioned your dad and it just brought up memories of, because my parents were the same. They were the party hosts all the time. And I remember being so young, like I'm talking about like 4 years old. My brother was three and they were just partying. And my parents had a lot of gay friends and gay was just very normal to us in my house. We had gay family. We had gay friends and it just taught us, or I just remember my parents being so, it was nothing to anybody. And it was so normal to us, like I mentioned. So when I got older and I was a teenager, all my friends that were coming out at the time, they just kind of gravitated towards my family, my house. Mm-hmm. It was very accepting. Yeah. And my parents were always so accepting. And it always made me feel happy because I had a lot of friends whose parents were so judgmental. And my family was the family that the girls came to when they found out they were pregnant at 15, 16, 17. Right. And my parents didn't judge them. My parents allowed me to go to their baby showers. They allowed me to hang out with them and walk to school with them still when they were pregnant. And other friends did, like their parents did not let them hang out with them anymore. So just thinking about that brings me happiness because it's how I've raised my boys. And they know nothing other than to, we accept everyone. We don't judge anyone. That's just, you know, that brings me happy. It brings me to a place of happiness and remembrance of all of that.
I love that you shared that because in our household, it was always accepted, but it was like, but you better not, you, you know? Yeah. And as I'm doing my lineage and I'm thinking about these things, the icons that I chose that were very impactful to me at a young age were all individuals who were very, very much bending what the norm was, whether it was, you know, gender bending or just showing up authentically as yourself was just something so important for me. Like, I remember being really young and watching Purple Rain. Like for the first time being at like a family party. And that was probably the first set of breasts that I ever saw like on like television. And I remember someone's parent happened to be walking by because, you know, back in the day, they just threw you in a room.
Oh, yeah.
And was like, oh, whoa, what are we watching? They were covering the TV with their jacket. And I was kind of like, yo, move over, lady. Like I was probably 7 or 8 years old, but, you know, Prince, as an artist, was somebody who just showed up as himself. And it wasn't someone, well, yeah, people questioned like his sexuality. That didn't last very long. You know, and he was somebody who could wear heels. He could wear lace. He could do whatever he wanted with his hair. Assless. Yeah, I remember that was huge. MTV, he did the assless thing. Was it Cream that he sang?
Yeah, I think so.
Cream, he was wearing yellow leather. Who does that? Mm-hmm. Like fucking amazing. And watching Purple Rain and seeing the range from like Darling Nikki and being like, oh my God, like this is so fucking disgusting. But yet like my pussy heartbeat going like, ooh, like this is so exciting. And then going to like just the velvety guitar sounds of Purple Rain just was everything for me. Like, I can't, like, he is somebody who is, like, at the top for me of just an example of what it's like to show up, like, who you are and give zero fucks. Because he, you know, he didn't, and he was gone too soon, and it was just his anniversary.
Yeah.
Rest in power, Prince. And it was interesting because I was talking to Rick about this. I was like, yeah, I'm going to play some prints in the background. And my Facebook memory, yes, I still have a Facebook. Don't come for me. But my Facebook memory of today actually was going to the movies to watch Purple Rain when he passed. Yeah. So, yeah, a big person I wanted to share. We have some comments, Rick.
What yeah, so Evolve with Nicolette is on and David Campos. Both Nico. Are. Nico's saying, hey, what's popping? Love the new studio. David Campos is saying, new studio looks great. Congrats.
Thank you.
And then Nico again says, oh, wow, your parents are cut from a different cloth. What a blessing. Yeah. And that's referencing your folks.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
I agree, because back when we were young, you know, younger, it obviously, like, people were not as open and coming out, you know, as now, you know, there's a lot more acceptance. It wasn't as easy for our age group, you know?
And I feel like our generation, I mean, we grew up in the 90s. It was everything. It was the era of everything and anything. And it was just,
Pretty much.
Still, I had friends. One of my very closest friends growing up, his mom passed away in 1999. We were 19 years old and she was dying. And every single day for about 3 months, I kid you not when I say, because we lived in the front house, he lived in the back house. And his mom, we'd go to the hospital every single day for 3 months. And he was trying to come out to his mom. Every day we'd be driving to Alhambra Hospital. And he'd say, today's the day I'm going to tell my mom. Aww. And I was his cheerleader. Just do it. You know, it's going to make you feel so much better. You're finally going to feel like you can live your life. And no, he didn't. She passed away and he never came out to her. And it was just one of those things. Oh, but my whole family knew. I mean, he sat there on the porch with my mom and smoked and told her his whole life story, but he couldn't do that with his own parent. And you know, you don't share everything with your parents, but we were pretty open and I'm grateful for that. But I just, you know, we got to teach our kids different.
And and that's just it is so beautiful because we do get to parent and we get to teach like our kids to do it differently and to be open and to be loving and to be accepting. It's just what we do. It's a new way. It's a new paradigm. There's like no other way. Other people who were like a big influence for me and my pleasure journey was like Walter Mercado. Do we even have to say the name?
Yes.
Like the opulence, being who the fuck you actually are. Just love him so much. George Michael. George Michael. For all of you young gays out there and maybe not so younger gays, like... they are talking to us. Do your homework, because George Michael is an absolute icon and somebody who was not able to live his life in full authenticity. But if you ever want to listen to a truly beautiful song, it is called Father Figure. Do yourself a favor and look up. Search up the lyrics, because it's absolutely
George Michael, amazing. Boy George.
Boy George,
Oh, yeah.
The Crying Game.
Bowie.
Day soon I'm gonna tell the world. No one else, just me. Okay, about the Crying Game. So many to name. There's just like so many people. A video that I remember I was all about was what's his name? Was it Chris Isaac?
Wicked Game?
Yeah. Oh my.
I hear that song and all I think of 20s. Is Dylan and Brenda breaking up in the Porsche.
Wow.
Hold on to your 20s on that song. If you want to see a good ass video from back in the day, look up that. Helena Christensen? Was she the model?
I think
gorgeous.
So.
Gorgeous. On the beach, holy shit, like that'll get you wet for fucking sure.
You remember when we even used to watch, like MTV was actually music?
Videos,
videos. Yeah. I just used to wait all day for the Morsi videos, for the Cure videos.
But that, and those are two other big icons too, because I remember being really young and liking the music from the Cure. But the first time that I saw Robert Smith, I was like,
what? Who?
Mm-hmm. He is wearing red lipstick.
Yes. Yeah. And a good shade at that.
Excuse me. Black nail polish. Mm-hmm. And this bitch is teasing his hair like it's the 80s. Yeah. I mean, yeah, I was in '90s when I heard him, but he was big in the 80s, y'all. Like, what? Singing songs like Boys Don't Cry? I was done. Like, I love him so much. I remember stealing some pictures from a magazine in, like, a dental office that had an article on The Cure. And I remember being, like, so methodical in the way I cut it. Oh, my God, I'm a stealer. I stole. It's okay. I stole. I stole. Man, it's the mamitas. Shout out, sponsor us. Hey, who do I see in the chat, Rick?
Yo Fit's in the chat. She's saying, hi, OMG, I'm late, but I made it. What up, Nico? Hello, familia. What's up, primo?
What's up, yo? We miss you. Yo is tapping in all the way from Nashville, guys.
From Nashville.
Exciting.
From
it's super Tennessee, fucking late over there.
Tennessee.
And her hubby Tennessee. Is my birthday twin, so we know that he's bomb as fuck. Like, say less. Sing Your Life. Morty, another anthem for like live your best life. I'm living my best life. Listen, if I ever am karaokeing with any of you guys, I always get like, what song? What song? Remind me, bitch, sing your life.
Well, we need to go to Morsioki. Have you heard of that?
I've heard of it, but okay, I've never been.
I think my bucket list in life right now, you know,
your cunt bucket list?
Yes, my cunt bucket list is I want to sing Girl Afraid at Morsioki. But I need to get fucked up because I just don't have, but they're so non-judgmental there. Like I you can help sound you like that. Total shit and everybody will cheer for you. And there's just so much fun.
That is my
They just actually spot. Came back April was their first time in 2 years that they were back.
What spot do they
first
do
first Thursday of every month at Eastside Love and Boyle
Thursday. Heights. Hey, we're looking at that spot for a potential live show.
That's next week. We should go.
I need to get a sitter. Thursday is my night with my kids.
Oh, okay.
What time does it start?
They don't start doing karaoke till like 10.
We'll put them to bed.
Put them to bed. Give them some Benadryl.
Yeah.
Put them to bed.
NyQuil, Benadryl, whatever.
Just kidding.
BRB. BRB.
Well, listen. Time is running out. Like, I had a lot to fucking say, guys, apparently.
Yo, it's ready for sexual frequency Nashville nights.
Manifesting. Listen, I have a friend, yo, who wants to have a hoedown for her divorce party. So we are eyeing Nashville. We're going to come out to you. And we'll bring Rick along and we'll do a live show. We'll set something up, girl. We got this. Nashville, here we come. Woo-woo! Yeah. Sexual frequency is going to go on the road. But, dude, our time is running like so late. We're running a little bit late, but that's okay. I just want to encourage you guys to do the activity, do a lineage of pleasure, and you know, see what it is that you find. Actually, Yo shared with us today too in the morning. I asked her the question, and she shared a beautiful story about her mom and her high heels, and it's just really beautiful to tap into that energy and those memories and kind of bring that to life again. And you know, just go out and say thank you to those people who have inspired you to live a life of pleasure and happiness, and maybe also, you know, spark a little fire for you to do that more often in your life. I'm going to end the topic with that because it is a time that you have been waiting for. It is the debut of our newest segment. Everybody give it up. Clap it up for my sister, High Priestess. And this is her segment. Her monthly segment called Horny Astrology.
Thank you. Oh my God, guys. I'm so excited to jump into this because there's a lot of sexy energy going on in the astrology for May.
Yes, there is.
There's some challenging things happening also.
Eclipse season is literally starting at the end of this month. We have another eclipse mid-May.
And then, brace yourselves.
Oh, no.
We have Mercury going retrograde.
Not the reggaeton. The reverse,
right,
mommy.
Right. So you would think, you know, maybe this isn't a sexy energy, right? Like, we all know Mercury retrograde is not fun. But this is sexual frequency.
Yes,
and
it is.
And we find the sexy where we can. Yes. Okay?
And all the places.
Exactly. So week one is coming in hot. And Venus is taking center stage. What do we know about Venus? Venus is the lover. She rules all things love and money
and softness and beauty. And she kicks off day one of May, sextiling with Pluto. Sexy sex styles. Here we go. Ooh. She feels super fun, flirty, and playful in this aspect. But the very next day, Venus enters Aries, which is fiery. It's action. It's passion. So when the planet that rules love moves into a sign like Aries, it can get intense, people. Mm. What does that tell us about our love in May? It tells us to be bold, passionate, enthusiastic. Venus in Aries is telling us to raise the motherfucking temperature in May.
Ooh, turn it up.
Light it up, bitch.
Turn it up.
You know, then we have Mercury in Gemini, sextiling Venus. More sextiling with Venus. She's a freak this month.
Oh, the sextiling. Yay. I'm feeling like Venus. Sextile me all over.
Exactly. So Mercury feels at home in Gemini. It's the planet of communication, sextiling with the planet of love, and it lands on Cinco de Mayo.
Oh.
So why not try getting a little loose with some margaritas or some micheladas and amping up the dirty talk?
Hint, hint.
Exactly. Sponsor. That's why we picked the mamitas. Tequila and soda.
Mamitas, come at me.
Amp up that dirty talk. It's the perfect time to get creative with your wordplay in the bedroom or the bathroom or the kitchen. Wherever it is you guys be getting nasty. Mm-hmm. Where do you guys get nasty?
Everywhere.
So amp up that dirty talk. The middle of the month might not be as inviting for everyone as week one. Mercury goes retrograde in Gemini on the 10th. And we know when Mercury is in retrograde, it's important to triple check your information, hold on making any important decisions, and plan for all of your plans to fall through. Because when all else fails, you're always your best backup plan. But if you do happen to find yourself with a playmate, I would recommend pulling out the gags because miscommunication is imminent, okay?
Y'all heard that. The gags.
Let your mouth rest while your body does all the talking.
Okay? Yes.
Just shut it. Zip it. Then we get to the full moon on the 15th, which is a lunar eclipse in Scorpio. The moon hates being in Scorpio, by the way. The eclipse, this eclipse.
Damn, no love for Scorpios ever. Fuck.
No, Scorpio's good, but not for the moon. Not for the moon. Okay, so this eclipse is a good time for releasing in order to move forward. So make this day a self-care day to get yourself a bottle of wine or champagne, run a bath, put your phone on silent, and take your time with yourself. Pull out your crystal wand that you bought from Goddess and facilitate that release that you need. And if you get the right one, if you get one of the special ones that she has, you can actually see the release happen. So check out the different options that Goddess has. With all that, the month wraps up with Gemini season starting on the 20th. Shout out to my Gemini.
Right here.
Hey. Yeah. Ooh, yes. I'm a Virgo. We get along so well. We're ruled by Mercury. So then Mars enters Aries and Venus enters Taurus, which are both their ruling signs. And this gives us a special boost in courage, spontaneity, sensuality, and confidence. So if there's something that you've been wanting to try, in or outside of the bedroom, the 24th through the 28th is a great time to take the ram by the horns and make it happen. Venus is going to be in Taurus for a few weeks, and she is ready to bear it all and take it all, and you should be too. So use the new moon on the 30th to plant those seeds and set the intentions. This was Horny Astrology, where we put the ass in astrology.
Hey!
I love it.
I want to grab the bull by the horn.
The ram.
Both of them work.
Get that pegging action going. Y'all heard that.
Pegasus.
Yes. The skies told you to. It's okay.
Yes.
If you want to hear more or tap in on that, you can stick around for Pillow Talk. Once we end the show, we're going to stay live on
YouTube. And if you guys have any questions about horny astrology or the topic, feel free to drop it into the chat. Congratulations, priestess. That was great. That was very informative, a lot of fun. And I may or may not have needed to put a towel down on the chair.
Snail trails in the studio.
That was not in my contract at this studio. So, Jeff, I hope you're listening. He's going to make some stipulations now.
Like, oh, need to add it in there.
He's going to put plastic covers like the couches on the chairs.
I was like, no, not my thighs getting stuck. We appreciate all of you for joining us and hanging with us and exploring your pleasure lineage with us. I want to thank Eileen for being here.
Thank you,
Rick,
guys.
As always, setting the beautiful tone, dropping the commercials, all the themes. And Priestess, hey, shout out to you for that debut, which was pretty fucking great.
Thank you.
Please remember to follow us on all of the platforms. It's been on the ticker, y'all. Go back and take a look at it. We are here every Wednesday live at 9 p.m. To catch us live, you have to join on YouTube, Lotus Hustle Life, or Infinity Studios. And the episode will drop on all streaming platforms. We don't know what day yet. Maybe Friday, maybe Tuesday. We got to figure it out.
I think Friday.
Friday sounds good.
Friday's good.
Friday sounds good.
Gives you the weekend to catch up and get nasty.
I think like most people listen to podcasts though, like during lunchtime at work.
Back.
I feel like that's what like the research says. So, well, you know, we'll see.
We'll look at the research.
We'll figure it out.
Check the numbers.
We'll check the research. Because we're some ethical sluts and some statistical sluts too. Not me. Who's the number slut in this outfit? I guess maybe we're not. But again, we appreciate for you guys, all of you who stood with us. We still got Yo, and we have Nico. She says, congratulations to the High Priestess.
Thank you. What does she call herself? The sixth sister?
Yes, the sixth sister. Yo's comments were fucking great, too. I'm here for horny astrology.
Yay.
Damn, Mercury, let me live. And oh, shit, early anal August. It's always good for anal, girl. Anal every day. This is going to be on
the shirt. Anal April.
Anal April. Anal every day, baby. This is what we are.
Anal all the time.
Yes. That's going to be on the next shirt. If you want to pre-order, just hit me up. It may or may not have like a booty hole. Maybe, maybe not.
Ooh.
Right? That'd be kind of dope. Imagine. Can we do one that has like
a onesie with a hole?
Your third eye be a booty hole.
Oh my
God. I'm trademarking that right the fuck now. Your third eye, baby.
I love that.
Your third eye. Again, thank you for joining us. Stick around for Pillow Talk. This was Sexual Frequency, and we're gonna end the show like we do always with the wisdom of my mama, of my ancestors, who said, play with yourself every night so that you know your body and you know what you like. This is Goddess Lore.
Rick Rock.
High Priestess.
Eileen.
And we will see you next week, baby. 9 p.m. on Wednesday.
Bye.
Adios.
Live.
Hey, welcome to Pillow Talk.
Meow.
The first Pillow Talk edition of season 2. If you're still joining us, let us know in the chat that you're here. I see you, Nico. I see Yo. She's putting in that book order for her
third eye.
I love it. There's a couple more of you that are here. Go ahead and drop your name in the chat. Let us know who you are. We want to give you a shout out. We're just here to debrief the show. If you guys have any questions, let us know. We got a lot of information that we just heard on horny astrology. A lot of info. So if you guys have questions about the astrology, like, let us know, because there's a lot going on. if you guys need also like emergency kit, hit me up because I got little kids going, little sage wand. We got a Palo Santo. We got some mushroom coffee, some like a little eye mask so you could rest because it's good to rest during any during eclipse.
And she got that stuff for your release too, if you need it.
Yes, absolutely. So if you're joining us in the chat, if you guys have any questions, I actually have questions for you. It's like,
yeah,
what is it that got you so juiced about astrology?
Oh man, I definitely have always been into astrology, and it kind of ties into the topic a little bit because I remember being, you know, in the grocery store when they had those little scrolls of astrology. One time, because my mom was like, "You're not gonna get that. Like, you don't even know what this is."
If you've learned anything from tonight's show, is that my sister and I are thieves.
You guys steal shit. Look,
and I used to be real clever about it when I was a kid. Like, I remember one time I got a chapstick and I like put it on the floor.
That's enough.
And kicked it out the door, and then my mom beat my ass when she found out. But anyway,
that's a tactic. Don't be sharing.
Hey, that's everybody secrets. Did that. Everybody did that. Like you drop it, like whoops, somebody kicks it, like, whoops.
I didn't drop this. Oh, I guess it's outside now.
Yeah. I was like, it dropped. It came out of my bag. That's why. That's what it was.
I mean, I was like 6 or something. Okay, this isn't right. Like at 13.
So at the time that you knew what morally was right and wrong, got it.
Wow. I'm blessed. Okay.
Okay, that kid. Yes, so yes, you yes. stole the scroll.
So. I mean, I always have been interested in astrology, but like everybody else, you start with your sun sign, right? And that's what everybody thinks. And then I had like skepticism from that because it's like, well, I know other Virgos who I'm nothing like.
Right.
Like, and a lot of Virgo traits didn't make sense to me. And then I learned about like all the different signs and you have a birth chart and all that, but I never got super into it. It was probably about a year ago. Maybe a little bit longer, where I came across the Chani app. And it's an app from an astrologer. Her name's Chani Nicholas, and she's amazing.
Queer and just everything I want my friend to be.
Yes, exactly. And also, like, I get emails from them all the time. It's like, oh, we have these positions open, and we are this great company, and you get unlimited, like, period pay, like shit like that. So I'm like, oh, my God, I love her. Anyway. You can put in your information to get your personalized birth chart, and it really dives deep and tells you what everything means. And then I ended up buying her book, and it's called You Were Born for This, Astrology for Radical Self-Acceptance. And it's kind of like one of those, what are the, like, choose your adventure type books where you're like filling in stuff, but it's personalized to your birth chart. And then I actually got my birth chart read by an astrologer. What's her name?
On Instagram. Oh, Coda Queen Astrology.
Coda Queen Astrology.
She's amazing.
A general birth chart reading with her. And it was so, like, you want to hear someone tell you about yourself, go to an astrologer and have them read your birth chart. And it's
someone
like,
who really knows, though. Like,
yeah, that, like of her. Course. Not me. I forgot to say that. I'm not a professional. I'm still just learning. But it really, like, everything she said, I was like, oh, my God, that's me. Oh, my God, yes. Oh, this makes so much sense. And there's so many, like, I'm just at the tip of the iceberg. There's, you know, some people talk about asteroids, different points on your chart, degrees.
There's, like Chiron.
Insane.
Your Saturn return. Insane. There's a lot. Yeah, a lot going on.
So, I did the book, and then I just really, I have like the subscription, and I get like my personalized readings, and it's weekly, so she does them for the week, and it just like, because you know everybody's like, oh, astrology, that's stupid, like it's all the same, but then you can be like, nah, look at your birth chart. So if you have your birth time, the place that you were born, you can get your free birth chart anywhere online. You just search free birth chart, you put in all that information. It's the most accurate when you have the time and location.
Yeah.
But in the book, she actually has Frida Kahlo and Maya Angelou's birth chart, mm-hmm. and she has the times, and you see, you know, they have successful in their lives, and like everything just adds up and makes sense. So it was like, I've always been into it gives that extra like, yeah, I had a feeling things were like kind of weird and like everything's connected, and the sky, you know, says a lot. It's like a map.
Yeah. And some of us are definitely more sensitive than others. If you're really, your birth chart is literally like the minute that you're born, it's like, imagine someone just
took a screenshot.
Yeah. Like a screenshot of the sky, and it's like just where all of the planets are. And,
your big, your major three, your sun, your moon, and your rising, and they all mean something different. And you know, to my point where I was like, oh, I don't really feel like a Virgo, when I combine it all together, it's like, oh, okay, I see it now, I get it.
Yeah, like, okay, so my youngest son is a Virgo, he's 7, and he's just like fucking fire. And so when I actually did his, he has an Aries moon. And I was like, that makes so much fucking sense right now. And then also what I learned when I knew he had an Aries moon is that in different times in your life, you relate more to different cycles. So like the moon, you relate more to when you're the youngest age, because the moon is the representation of the mother. Mm-hmm. And so that's who your attachment is closer to, like the mother. I can't remember what the next phase was, probably rising. So I mean, there's so much to learn, and we're glad to have you here with us, and you're gonna be on.
I'm excited. Look, I'm gonna be honest, that God has had to scale me back a lot, because the Virgo in me was like,
yes,
I'm gonna give you definitions of all these words I'm saying, I'm gonna be every single day, and I wrote out my segment, I recorded myself, and it was like 15 minutes.
I was like, shit. We gotta scale it. We how 5 minutes, bro.
No, she was five minutes. How much time do you need before I had written it out? And I was like, I don't know, 5 minutes. And then, you could kind of see.
Yeah, last night tough. She like, was like, are you still awake? Like, and we FaceTime, and she was like, it was 15 minutes. And I was like, no.
You did good, though. Yeah. You did good.
Thank you.
We were like 5-6 minutes, I think.
Yeah.
She came prepared.
It
was so great. And I had to tell her, like, Virgo,
chill.
You got to chill. Because people are going to, like, they want to know just, like, when do I fuck? What do I do? I prep the booty? All of those things, right? Because aspects and trines and stuff, it's like, you know, to a lot of people, it's like speaking Chinese.
Yeah.
And then you're going to have people who are super interested. So where can they find you on Instagram?
You can find me at hi.priestess88 on Instagram. Dot as in period.
Nico just said not all the definitions.
Yeah, but you wanted all the definitions. I was on NoHo. We are not
I just was going to talk about you know, some of the words I was using. I'm like, they don't know what that means. But then I stuck with just the sex styling, because I'm like, oh, sexy, sex styling. It
right,
goes.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, we had to do it that way, because other I was like, 15 minutes, that's your own podcast. Like, there's podcast episodes that people put out for 10, 15 minutes, and that's a podcast.
Yeah.
So I was like, no, we need to scale it down. We need to do 5 minutes, and, you know, we can debrief and do all of the things. But you did such a great job. I'm excited. It was so good.
I had fun.
Yeah.
That's what matters. That's what it's all about, having fun.
Yeah. There's a lot of juicy.
That's right.
Coming through.
May is juicy as hell.
Yeah.
Venus is like, do I make you horny, baby?
Do I get horny?
Randy.
Oh, behave.
That was almost lower, my end tagline. But then I was like, bitch, you're corny as fuck. Don't do that.
And I'll be sitting here like this.
Number two. Who's number two?
Who does number two work for? You tell them.
Nico's saying, yeah, it was great. This Virgo is proud of you.
Oh, thank you. That's all, that means a lot. The sixes are coming through.
Yeah.
Yes, Virgo love.
Oh, man. Yo, that video you got up there is looking hella scary, Rick.
I know. I saw it right now. I was like, eek.
That's a jam up there, yo.
I know, but like the visual is like. I don't know if
that's scary. Part of the video or just, but yeah.
Very statue.
It looks pretty crazy.
It's like.
Like the cement man.
The Matrix meets Atlanta or something. Like, oh, Atlanta. When is it? Oh, tomorrow, huh? Atlanta drops on Thursdays.
Are they Thursdays or Fridays? I can't remember.
Oh, but you know what we got tonight? Survivor.
There it is.
I'm gonna get home and it's gonna be naked Survivor time.
There you go. Tuesday is my day for all my shows.
Tuesdays.
What do you
so, watch on Tuesdays?
Oh my god, it just
the Housewives.
So run. So yes, it's the Housewives of New Jersey.
Yes, bitch.
And then it's the Little Johnstons.
Oh, I don't Seven know Little what Johnstons. That one is.
Oh my god, they're little people.
Okay,
they're the best ever. Shout out to the Seven Little Johnstons. And shout then I watch, oh my God, after a year, I love the show, but I hate that it's like a whole year between Mayans came back last week.
Oh,
and you know, saw it.
My I'm tattoo hooked. Redo is from someone who came out on the Mayans.
Really?
Yeah. Wow. Yeah.
Yeah. The so same that one came who back. Like a, so yeah, then it's yeah. Mayans. And then I have Teen Mom too. Or Teen Mom, oh, whichever
who
is
would
it.
Be Teen Mom. Is that
I am. Or maybe I'm my sister so into Momo. Teen Mom.
Okay, I'm into the Housewives, and Nico's on here. Look, I was a recovering Bravo whore, and then Nico just dragged me right back in.
Oh, no, I'm full addict right now.
And they
pulled me back in.
Yes, and also, you know, Nico and I have talked about this a lot of, like, how desperate are they trying to make Louis Italian? Like, hold on, I am, bro.
Yes.
So even when I was
like watch, he went from his name's Louis, now he's like Louis.
Watch What Happens Live. Louis, it was like, Louis. Anytime you Luigi. Hear us say this name, and it's like Louis, yeah, but like, it's Louis. Like, bruh, yes. That's not Louis. He's not Italian. Like, stop it.
Yeah. And after all of that, then I end my night. My nightcap, this is us.
Oh, see, I can't watch I that show. It. I'm like, I got enough. I'm sadness just a junkie. In my life.
I like, and I just sit there and I DVR all of it.
Uh-huh.
And I got to watch it. And because I can't sit there and watch 5 hours worth of TV right, on right. a Tuesday night.
I like
I will, the but I can't. Of
Miami. I like them.
I watch like New them. Jersey and Orange County. Those are my.
How boring was Orange County, though?
So I don't like anybody that's on it. Heather is fake as fuck.
I had high hopes for Fancy Pants.
Yeah, so did I. I love Heather. She belong in that circle of people. And then when she tried to do like that mafia hit on Shannon, I was just like, no, Heather.
Louis?
I'm like, no.
No. I'm like, Survivor.
Okay, see.
Survivor's our thing, right? Rick and Snack Club. We used to watch it all together. And Atlanta, like, that's like my jam right now. And The Housewives, yeah.
Okay, wait.
Nico just said Heather was such a disappointment.
Big
yes.
time.
Yes.
Not the mafia ever. Hit.
Yeah, if you ever come for me and my family again. And I'm like, oh, you need a little Botox there and there and there. Terry needs to hook you up, girl. Because you're cracking.
Terry could get it, though. Terry,
I love Terry.
Heather could get it, too. Like, let's do it in your podcast studio with your big ass picture of yourself. Like, oh my gosh. Anyway, well, that's gonna wrap it up for us tonight on Pillow Talk. Thank you again for joining us, Nico. We see you hanging in there for the Housewives.
Yeah.
Housewives.
Appreciate talk. The love, Nico.
Yeah, we appreciate you. We appreciate the love. We will see Nico on Friday. She will do a live tapping on her Instagram. Yeah. You can follow her at Evolve with Nicolette. Again, thank you for joining us. We will see you next Wednesday at 9 p.m. For Sexual Frequency, baby. Season 2, episode 31. We'll see you.
Bye, y'all.
Besitos. Buenas noches. Oh, I like that, Cardi.